Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show. And have we got a show for you? We've got Queen and King of the Ring semifinal matches. We got new number one contenders for the women's tag team matches. And Bron Breakker killed a guy. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Justin Labar and Jimmy Corderas. Justin, how you feeling today?
Feeling good. It's Monday night. It's Triple J. We got a big weekend of wrestling coming up with King and Queen of the Ring Saturday, Double or Nothing Sunday. It's a fun time to be a wrestling fan and have things to talk about.
That's why you're the best, Justin, is because that way I can now just lead right into saying, by the way, we're going to be doing an after show for King and Queen of the Ring right here on Wrestling Inc. I'll be on it. Me and my pal Flobo, we're going to chat about the show. But also at the end of today's review, we're going to give our picks. So, you know, everyone knows, everyone comes here to figure out the spoilers of who we're picking to win. So make sure to tune in to the very end. Speaking of spoilers and picks and predictions, Jimmy, we have a bet, don't we?
Yes, we do. You have made your stipulations for the bet. I need to come up with something for you. I'm gonna rely a little bit on JL here because I've been racking my brain because I know you're not gonna put your hair on the line.
That's a little too much.
Now, you're like Kurt Angle with Daniel Pewter. You'd rather lose your arm than
right. Yeah, yeah. If we're talking about losing my arm, yeah, okay, whatever. We'll throw that on the line. But the hair, I mean, I'm nothing without the hair. This is like Samson. I can't cut this. But Jimmy,
hey, if anybody's got a good suggestion in the chat, let's go for it.
You can't even ask him to shave his facial hair because it's so light, anyways. Jack has such a baby face, anyways. I mean,
Yeah, we need to figure out a good bet. Everyone in the chat, let's think of a good bet. Also in the chat, if you could do me a favor, remind me exactly what I bet and sometimes my mouth's writing checks that other parts of my body can't cash, fellas. What did I bet?
Look at you throwing chips on the table and you don't even know what your cards are. Look at this.
I love it.
Don't
I'm
take
all
me
in.
To Vegas.
I'm going all in blind.
All in, baby. That's the only way to do it.
It's double or nothing.
What did we bet? I don't remember.
Predictions for King and Queen of the Ring.
That I'd have better predictions than you, or better.
Well, you would get more right than I would.
Oh, I'm very confident in that. I'll bet the farm on that. Come on.
Goodness. Okay.
Doubling down.
We've got a lot of stuff to chat about. Everyone here, by the way, if you could just do me a real quick favor and hit that like button, of course, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff as well. We're going to talk about a lot of pro wrestling tonight. In fact, we got some news about some trademarks. Of course, that's what everyone cares about in pro wrestling. Where are the trademarks? People are always asking. Sure, this guy's got star power, but what trademarks does he own? Well, WWE filed for a trademark for potentially a new show, WWE Vault, and it's marked for, quote, a show about professional wrestling.
You don't
seems
say.
Pretty seems pretty vague. But Justin, we don't know what it is yet. What do you think it would be, and where? What do you think it will be, and what would you like it to be?
Well, I think what it will be is pretty obvious. Vaults, right? I mean, they have just tens of thousands of hours of the video library that they own. Obviously, you can access all of that, most of it at least, via, you know, the network on Peacock or the network internationally. But I think with the, I think if they have a show called Vault, they could do something a little more organized. What I'd like to see it be, I think it would be very fun. You know, we've seen certain podcasts do this in recent years, and I think if you could have a watch along where it's like, look, we're gonna sit here and have on this week's episode of The Vault, we're gonna have said host sit with The Undertaker, and we're gonna watch back and pick an iconic Undertaker match. I think that would be really fun, but try to do it live if you could, so that way you could promote it on YouTube, Twitter, all the platforms, and people can load it up on the network. You know, you tell them where, how, and everybody can sit and watch it along together. I think that would be something, you know, live that would be very compelling, and again, somewhat like, wow, it's live. It's not going to be pre-produced. It's not going to be like, you know, God, Undertaker might, who knows what he might say. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I think, you know, I'm just using him as an example. There's obviously tons of talent, but that's what I'd like to see it be. But I think it obviously will be something with their vast video library.
Yeah, Jimmy, that seems like a good idea to me. It sounds like a slam dunk, too, that it'll probably have something to do with the video library. My first thought when I saw Vault is I imagined a vault full of stuff, but they've got so many things like greatest treasures and stuff like that. Probably not that. I like Justin's idea, especially if they were watching terrible things or like I would love to see wrestlers like going back and watching Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior from Halloween Havoc in WCW, or you know, just those ones where it just didn't age, like it wasn't good, and just seeing how they're reacting to watching it live and being like, oh man, what is happening right now?
Especially,
I think that would be fun.
Jack, especially if you had like a panel, especially if you had like a like four people at a table.
Oh. Yeah,
but especially if the gimmick was one of them had never seen it before, and the other guy's like, wait until you see this.
Like Haku with the Shockmaster.
Yes.
Oh. Yes, that would be so fun to see, because they have so much stuff, and now, especially with some of the older stuff, I think it's okay to look back at some of the older stuff, but yeah, that didn't work out the way we thought it was going to. But I think that would be really fun. Jimmy, any ideas for what this could be, or what would you like it to be?
No, Justin, when he said live, I pretty much had the same idea as him, that it would be matches from the past, but I like the watch-along idea and doing it live where you can interact with fans who are actually watching it live with them, because you never know what kind of response you're going to get. And if you have that four-person setup, whoever is hosting the thing, and have three other superstars, maybe a couple of them that were involved in the moment, like you said, Justin, that would be gold. One person I would like to see host it, because he is both funny and very insightful, is JBL. JBL is a guy who can carry that show and make it fun, especially if you're going to do some of the not so infamous moments that people look back on. So I like the idea. And maybe have an ECW episode, maybe have a WCW episode, and then you can have the old WWE, the genesis of Monday Night Raw and the beginnings of where they began. You know, there's so many avenues you can take with this, but you need the right host. And I don't know. I have a soft spot for JBL. He's my old golf partner, but he can be a funny SOB. That's for sure.
They have a lot of funny people they could have on there. As I'm thinking about this, it'd be fun to see R-Truth watching some of these videos and just giving his feedback and his thoughts on what he's seen.
His childhood here, watching his childhood hero, John Cena.
Yeah, you could show not even his early stuff, not even early John Cena, like John Cena from 2008 or something, and have him be like, oh man, I remember this as a kid or whatever. That'd be
my dad. My dad took me to this one.
Yeah. So that would be fun. Let us know in the chat what you guys think it'll be, and more importantly, what you would like it to be. I feel like the ideas are always fun to see of what thoughts people have with the WWE, The Vault.
Just an FYI, yeah. It probably means nothing to others, but I find it interesting that I refereed John Cena's first dark match with Crowbar. When he was prototype, and I can't remember
that making the rounds recently on social media.
Yeah. Yeah, I had forgotten I'd done that until somebody tweeted it to me, and I said, "Oh, that's right." And because I didn't remember seeing him with the prototype, that really blonde, mohawkish kind of hair kind of thing, and actually wearing tights.
I didn't realize until a couple of years ago. If you go back and watch the WCW box office thriller that was Ready to Rumble, that there's a John Cena spotting in the background at a gym.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So we talk about people. That should be the first episode, is a watch along of Ready to Rumble for the Vault. That would be hilarious to see everyone go back and rewatch that one. Reaper Brink saying they should watch the White Castle of Fear. Yes. See, like, so many fun things I think you could go back and visit. I got a question real quick from Laura Rock asking if I am related to Sting's double, Jeff Farmer. I am not related to Jeff Farmer. No, unfortunately.
What a gem that would be after all these years of us doing this podcast. You finally admitted and told us that fun fact.
I was just like, oh, yeah, of course. You didn't know.
How could you not know that?
He's my uncle on my mom's side.
It's my dad.
Twice removed.
Hey, Jeff, get in here real quick. He's been here the whole time.
He's lurking.
He's one of the lurkers. Speaking of stuff that's going around on the internet, Drew McIntyre has obviously been great on the internet as of late. And he went to social media this week to compare Tama Tonga to a gremlin, saying, quote, "I thought we all agreed not to feed Tama after 8 p.m. If you remember his viral making noise thing he was doing on SmackDown. So, Jimmy, this is where, or Justin, I want to ask you here. It got me thinking. Wrestlers can be kind of monsters in their own right. I'd like to know if you could compare a current wrestler to an 80s, 90s movie monster, what kind of comparison would you make?
I don't know if I'm going to go monster, because we don't have a lot of supernatural at the moment. Mm-hmm. But like, I can go villain. I can go bad. Like, look, when I see Gunther, and especially when you go to the 80s, like the 80s was so America. And every bad guy in the 80s, whether it's a Rocky film or whether it's a Die Hard film, was not American. It was a foreign. It was the foreign threat. So like John McClane in the Die Hard, he's always taking on the international terrorists that are always European. And so when I see Gunther in the Ring General, especially when he had both Kaiser and Vinci and the way he walks, but he talks, like that's the thing, the Die Hard villains, they don't talk like uneducated thugs. They talk like sophisticated, you know, diabolical, you know, villains. So, and that's Gunther. So I think that I could see Gunther going against Rocky in a Rocky movie. Like Gunther to me is just, he's an 80s villain. It's great.
Yeah, I could absolutely see him doing the, if he dies, he dies.
Yeah, or in Die Hard 3 when, you know, now we're going to the 90s, but, you know, again, it's a European bad guy, and he's, Simon Says, John McClane and his new best friends will go to the payphone. Like, I could see Gunther doing that. I could see him.
Right.
I thought you were going to go more Hans Gruber.
Well, Hans was, according to the first one, was the brother of Simon.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't watched it.
What? Justin.
Darn. There,
you ruined it for me.
In case that was movie night this weekend for you, I'm sorry.
But hey, Die Hard was a Christmas movie. Leave it alone.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Mike Martin says Crowbar could be Edward Scissorhands. And Stephen Camp says Braun Strowman, Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds. You know, I'm thinking Solo Sikoa. This is maybe not a horror movie, but I could see a lot of like Scar from the Lion King, where he's getting rid of the Mufasa. That's the name. I kept wanting to say Simba. Getting rid of Mufasa so he could be the leader of the tribe now. That could see him, maybe that comparison there. Mike says Becky Lynch is Stephanie from Short Circuit. Jimmy, this is your wheelhouse. The throwback stuff. Who are some comparisons you could make?
I like the fact that Justin said movie villains as opposed to horror movies, because I like the villains that have a kind of a cerebral kind of thing. And when you think cerebral, you think Randy Orton. And I don't know, Randy Orton could sometimes get into that Jack Torrance thing in The Shining, Jack Nicholson. Mm-hmm. So I could see him kind of getting in that kind of thing. He can do it. Right now he's a baby face and not doing it, but I could see him doing that. And the other person who I think has the potential to be someone maybe from the 80s genre is Dexter Lumis, maybe doing a little Kiefer Sutherland from Stand By Me.
You know,
maybe a little Ace Merrill. I don't know. It's a possibility, I think. It's there, I think, if they can tap into it.
Bernie DC says Randy Orton could be like Liam Neeson in the Taken series. I have a unique set of skills.
If you're looking current, maybe, I don't know, maybe Bron Breakker as the Beekeeper or the Terminator.
Oh, you know, I was thinking Shayna Baszler as the Silence of the Lambs guy because she ate a bite out of somebody a few years back. So, let us know in the chat. Let us know in the comments if you have any 80s, 90s, or whatever movie comparisons for bad guys, monsters, things like that that you could compare to a wrestler today. It'd be fun to see what you guys come up with. Let's chat about this week's Monday Night Raw. As always, though, I want to thank everyone for joining us here in the chat. Ethan Cruz, Scott Langford, Adam Staples, Dylan Matthews. We got Ricky, Carrie, Jane, Steven, Adam, Tommy O, Chad W, Joe C, Lurkin, Reaper, Brink, Kenny, Sherrod, Daniel, Barry, Burger Account. Everyone's here today. Angie, Laura, Mike, Pronouns, Pal, Stalking You, Casey J. Everyone, thanks so much for rolling through. It's always appreciated. We got a super chat. I stopped for a second because it just popped up, and I was like, should I go to it right now or should I wait? But I'm just going to pop it up right now. Terry Allen Jr. With a very specific super chat amount. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Terry. Saying, during pay-per-views, the wrestlers watched live was very fun, and Kathy was the host. Do any of you remember it, and would you want this to return? I will throw that to you, guys. Have you ever seen the watch-alongs WWE used to do?
Yeah, I remember when they did them. Again, cool. I mean, I like the live concept, and I like trying things. I think the tough thing about those, and even with there being less restrictions, with Triple H in charge now, and everybody kind of has a little more freedom, it would still be tough to have current talent, because they would have current talent, just talent that wasn't on the card, wasn't being used watching this. And it's tough because, like, you got to watch how you react, because you don't want to completely, you know, you don't want to be cheering or admiring a spot necessarily that a bad guy is doing if you're a good guy and vice versa. So I think that's why I kind of like taking, like, wrestlers of the past or even if you're taking wrestlers of the current, watching stuff from the past, or, you know, just you don't muddy the water or conflict with the present day product.
Right.
Yeah, I think too, you got to be careful of with new stuff too, to even more to that point is like, if if Randy Orton's doing something and you think something's funny about it, you can't be there laughing at Randy Orton. That kills who that character is. So you have to react to him a certain way. And with older stuff, it's like, whatever, it's okay to make fun of this person now, or to laugh at this, or to maybe give some insight or feedback or whatever to different things.
And you might get a different look at some of the characters. Like we talk people like The Undertaker, who when he was The Undertaker and, you know, doing the schedule, he was The Undertaker 24/7. When he walked through the airport, he was The Undertaker. When he went out for dinner, he was The Undertaker. When he went home, he was Mark Calloway. Now that he's pretty much retired, he's opened himself up. He's Mark Calloway, but still to everybody else, he's still the dead man. He's to us, he is anyways. But you might see a little bit of a different side, whereas back in the day, the heels especially would not let that, you know, persona die, they, you know, in public. So it might be interesting to see people that you've never seen in that vein on these kind of programs and going, oh, I didn't know he was that nice.
Jimmy, do you think, because you've met The Undertaker before, and I think you know him probably better than I do anyways, if he came up in today's world, do you think he would have still done things that way in a world with Twitter and Instagram and stuff? Or do you think that we live in a world where now everyone's gonna be like, look, man, we all I'm on Twitter. This is me in real life. This is me on the show. How do you think he'd handle it today?
That's an interesting question, because the way he was brought up old school, where you don't drop the gimmick in public. So would he do it today? I'm sure he would probably do that same kind of thing. I don't know if it would work as well as it did back in the day, because there was that mystery surrounding him, because there wasn't that social media where people, you know, you see him tweeting every day something different. So if I know him, I'm not pretending to know him as well as a lot of people, mm-hmm. but at the same time, the Undertaker that I knew would probably stay off of places like Twitter unless it was something to enhance the storyline going forward or something like that. Very few tweets, if any at all. But he would stay in character for pretty much all of his public appearances.
Yeah, my guess was going to be he would just stay off of it. And if he had to be on it, if they wanted him, it would be used like how Bray Wyatt and how now currently whatever this new thing is, he would use it to, like you said, push some mystery and some clues.
Right. I would love to hear the justification for why the Undertaker character needs to get on Twitter to post something. Yeah. Like, I've risen from the dead to remind you to tune in today for Monday Night Raw.
All he has to do every once in a while is play the gong. That's all.
He starts every tweet with gong.
I woke up this morning, I'm both burying and blocking souls.
Well, the blocking part, it won't be hard, that's for sure.
That would be a great account to follow, by the way. Just if someone being in character Undertaker account.
Can you imagine Teddy Long being the general manager of WWE on Twitter saying, if you tweet wrong, you will have to go one-on-one on Twitter with the Undertaker?
So I'll tell you, Jack, Jimmy might have known this, because I might have sent it to him way back in the day if he even remembers. But Jack, I don't think I've ever told you or the audience. Years ago, this is before the pandemic. That's how my time markers are now. Before the pandemic, for several years, I had this idea, and we produced a few. And I think I can tell them. I'll say it now. RJ City, I would employ RJ City to help, because RJ's such a creative guy. I had the concept, but I needed him to help really give me like the specifics. The concept was, and we did a few, and maybe I'll even share them on social again if this ignites interest. I had a series that we did kind of briefly, pilot of what classic wrestling feuds would have been like had there been Twitter. And we did the one of them we did was Hulk versus Andre. And we found a way to create tweets that look like Hulk Hogan and Andre and Bobby Heenan and Jesse Ventura and people that would have been involved in the build were tweeting and 87 building to Mania 3. And I want to say the other one might have been a Brett or Sean thing, but I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I have them saved somewhere. But we did a few of like what the feud would be like on Twitter, and you know, I was narrating, kind of piecing together. RJ was great at coming up with the specifics and the exact hashtags of what it would have been in 1987. And it's a kind of, because I always think it's fun to think about what if we were all the classes we grew up on had the mediums that we have now today to further talk trash and or slip on a banana peel on social media.
That would be a good show for like WWE. I like that idea. You should. WWE, you gotta sign Justin up and run with this.
And too bad, because RJ City, like you said, Justin, he's good just off the cuff. It just comes to him almost naturally. He's that good with coming up with ideas.
Nobody, and it wasn't public that RJ was behind the scenes quietly doing this. This is before AEW. It was literally just like, again, he and I brainstorming, and then he would just give me these great drafts of here's what they should be saying, and we had a fun time collaborating, and you know, we worked together in a wrestling ring many times before that, so we always love to collaborate, and this was something fun. I was like, man, I'd love to see something like this take off or do more of it, and we never really followed through with it, but
the chat says you got to do it, so sorry Justin, that sounds like
maybe all right tonight. So since we're live right now, it's 11:34 Eastern time on a Monday night. I'm not gonna do it tonight, and so a lot of you are gonna watch this tomorrow, Tuesday. Maybe check back to my social media, my Twitter, at Justin Lahr, Tuesday afternoon. Maybe I will share one of the links that's hidden in my vault, in my Justin Lahr Productions LLC vault. Maybe I'll pull one link out.
I like this. See, everyone on this panel, I love to just say agree to stuff, and then when it comes time to do it, we figure out if we're going to actually do it. But we just agree to it on the spot. That's my way. I just say, sure, that sounds great. And then I deal with the consequences later. as someone who had to deal with some consequences tonight, Jey Uso, he had some consequences to deal with. We get Gunther chatting to an empty stadium. Jey Uso walking in and talking his day one-ish on the way to the ring. Banger of a matchup. Gunther with a cool choke to get the win. Jimmy, this was the semifinal match. And, man, we could say this through the whole tournament, but they are making this feel like a tournament to win.
With a lot of stakes, yes. Yes, we know the King of the Ring crown is at stake, but this feels like it's now an important item that, you know, the wrestlers want to win. We can call them wrestlers now, which is great too.
Right.
I love that part. But what a match. I mean, you know, usually in wrestling, they work the left side. You always work the left arm, the left leg, whatever it is. I noticed that he was working the right arm, which I liked because the little things that happened during the match when Jey was really selling that right arm and couldn't lift it, he was throwing punches with his left. Little things like that. And when he was making big moves on Gunther and splashing him and stuff like that, he would sell that arm and he was trying to hook him and he couldn't hang on to it very well. Little things that made sense during the match. And boy, did you see the mark on his chest from taking those chops? Yeah, they come in tight, to put it mildly. But like you said, Jack, they're making it feel important. And that's the key here. Because if you want people to get invested, make it feel like it's something that they want to win big time. Make it mean something, and that's what they're doing right now. And people who are going to complain about the finish of the match, Jey Uso, you know, passing out, that's what a babyface does. He doesn't give up. Mm-hmm. He will kick out of everything you throw at him. He will live and die by that. But at the same time, a babyface will not give up. He will pass out, like we talked about earlier, rather lose his arm than actually tap out or get pinned. And that's why I like that finish. It worked for that particular match.
Yeah, good fellow here saying Gunther forever. Bernie DC saying tremendous finish. Justin, yeah, this is, you know, we talk about good wrestling and good wrestling matches and how just having a good match can matter. And I feel like all these matches, because they've been so good and so tightly contested, it just feels so important winning this match. It feels like such a big deal. I want your thoughts on the match, on Gunther, and also something I saw going around on social media this past week and how, ever since Jey Uso beat Dragunov, there's been some rumblings on Twitter that maybe he's only an entrance and maybe it was the wrong guy and we should have gotten Gunther versus Dragunov today. What are your thoughts on Jey Uso?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, look, Jey Uso is over with the crowd. It's not just the entrance. I mean, they're buying his shirts, as I can see when they pan the crowd, and they're cheering for him in the matches. So to me, that's not just an entrance. If he was just an entrance, they would sit on their hands once the bell rang. That said, I do think that, you know, Jey Uso, main event Jey Uso, is lacking a lot of big wins. Most of his bigger matches he's been in, he's come up short. Even the match that he won at WrestleMania against his brother, that match was underwhelming for what it could have been. And I think Jey has spoken on this. I believe he referenced that maybe they were cut for time. And so, you know, and that happens. So what he does need, main event Jey Uso does need something. And that's why actually I thought that maybe they would find a way to somehow have him get past Gunther, which I know sounds crazy, but I thought, okay, Jay's going to get to the finals of the King of the Ring tournament. Whether he wins it, I don't know, but that'll be a big deal just to get into the finals. And I thought, look, storyline-wise, get into the finals, he goes up against Tama Tonga. There's just obvious story there. I'm happy to be wrong on this because it gets us Gunther's in the final, and I love Gunther. And, you know, I would think, and we'll talk about predictions later when we wrap this up, but I don't see them doing a heel versus heel. So I would think that might mean we're going to get Gunther versus Randy Orton, and holy hell. We'll talk about that later. I thought the match was really good. My only knock is the finish was great on paper. My only knock was they were obviously very pressed for time because as soon as that bell rang, you know, they were out. So had they had just 30 more seconds to work with, I would have liked to see Jey, as Jimmy said, he's a babyface, so he's not giving up. He passes out, but I would like to see it made a little bit bigger of a deal. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, he's fading. He's fading. He's fading. Pat McAfee screaming on the mic, yeet, 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 wake him up. But he's fading. He's fading. And make it more dramatic. It would have meant a little bit more. It was really quick. I mean, the ref didn't even do, I don't even think, three arm lifts. He just, mm-hmm. after one or two, and then he said he's done. So the finish was a little rushed. So lost a little in effect there. But all in all, I cannot argue anybody's logic of a goal. Gunther's going to be in the King of the Ring finals. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you there. That's fine.
I'm just to let you. This is my, you know, something I noticed lately is they don't do the three anymore. As far as I've been noticing, if you correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't seem like when there's a situation where someone's in a lock like that, whether it's a sleeper hold or a rear chin lock, whatever the case may be, for some reason they only do the one lift.
Well,
I'm just saying that I know where you're coming from, Justin, but what you're saying, I'm just saying that's something I've noticed recently that they didn't do in the past.
And that's fine. And even if you know, now they're owned by an MMA company, even if it's believed now, okay, the old 1-2-3 of the arm lift is too old. It's too hokey pro wrestling for the Hulk up thing. Even if they say, look, let's take a more MMA approach to this, an MMA ref is not going to let a guy who is literally be choked out for 2 seconds longer just for the effect. They're going to go, if they see a dead arm, they're going to say, oh my God, this guy's out. We got to protect him. So I'm fine if they're moving towards that realistic approach to a pass out. Even still, I would have, if they had just 30 more seconds, have Jay fade a little bit more dramatic rather than it's out and we're gone. That's my only critique. But again, it was just they were up against the time. They were doing what they had to do to get it in. So
yeah. Yeah. Bernie DC mentions need the overrun, not like they can't have the USA Network show. Couldn't start at 11:06 like it used to. Well, I think this week was the debut of that. Was it Race to Survive where they've been advertising? So I guess they're hoping that to be a pretty big show. So they're not going to push that, I don't think.
And once they get to Netflix, it won't matter.
Yeah.
Absolutely won't matter. And it's, and to be fair, you shouldn't count on an overrun. I mean, you should assume that the show is done. But yeah, this one felt really abrupt when they ended. I think even Michael Cole was like mid-sentence when it went to the next show. So they really cut it close. But in the end, I think it's fine. I absolutely loved how this one turned out. And yeah, I think Gunther's so awesome. And Jay will be just fine. And I don't think he's more than just an entrance. It's just something I saw people saying on Twitter recently. He's just an entrance. I was like, come on. You were cheering for this guy for like 3 years. He's not just an entrance. But we move on to another qualified match. Queen of the Ring, Lyra Valkyrie versus Io Sky. We get a video package for Io earlier in the night. Becky hypes up Lyra. Great match goes the distance with Valkyrie getting a clean win. Later, Liv Morgan sucker punches Lyra to get her back for what Becky did. Justin Labar, clearly they see big things in Lyra Valkyrie. And I'm queuing this up to you because I know you've talked about this a bit on your show on Busted Open Radio, which everyone can check out every week. I want your thoughts on Lyra Valkyrie. Clearly, the fact that they see big things in her and are giving her a pretty big launch pad. And do you think if she doesn't win the whole thing, has she already done enough, or do you need to see more before you see what WWE sees?
This was her best showing so far on the, since being drafted to Raw. This is her best of the tournament matches. I was given the most time, really, really, really good match. And as you said yesterday, thank you for the plug. Yeah, I'm busted open yesterday. My prediction was I thought that she was going to go to the finals and beat Io Sky. My argument was that she was put on the left side of the bracket. It's a very kind of soft side of the bracket compared to how heavy hitting the right side is with Nia Jax and Jade Cargill and Tiffany Stratton and Bianca Belair. So I thought, look, if Shawn Michaels and Triple H are drafting her specifically when they are to go to Raw, we're just in time to be a part of this tournament. It was for a reason. It wasn't just to get knocked out in the semifinals. So they want her to go to the finals. Is she going to win it? I mean, I could see that happening. I'm not totally sure, but I do think if she doesn't win it's going to need to be like tonight, if not even better, for her match in the finals. I think you're really going to have to, otherwise it's just going to seem like you teed anybody up for, again, I'm going to assume because she's a babyface, Nia Jax, I'm just going to assume. It just seems like you just teed somebody up for Nia Jax to throw around. So we'll see. I like her. This was the best showing, and I like her because I like the thought of her being queen, because to me, she's got the athletic ability in the ring. She's got the moves down. I thought she's lacked a little bit in previous showings, of like the stuff in between the moves. Like, what can she do? Who is she? What is she going to do? How is she going to engage with the crowd? So I like the thought of, okay, give her the crown. She can be Queen Lyra. We can play off the royalty thing. Let her go into that. I thought that would give her more of an identity, because otherwise Lyra Valkyra is a very good wrestler, but I don't have much more description of her, of who she is, what is she. So I thought if you give her the royal gimmick as queen, that would at least be a starting point.
Yeah, I think she has the look of someone that could be the queen with her, the way she dresses and kind of carries herself. I feel like that could be a good guy version of the queen. And I don't want to get into predictions, but I think Nia Jax's queen of the ring could be pretty fun to see too. Jimmy Corderas, Io Sky was the champion, takes a loss here. She also gets a backstage promo kind of doing the Shinsuke Nakamura thing. What are your thoughts on this matchup? What are your thoughts of her just getting laid out by Liv Morgan after this match? Just kind of overall thoughts of where Lyra Valkyrie is at this point and Io Sky.
Well, I like the fact that, Valkyria is moving on. She's getting a great showing. Obviously they have a lot of faith in her, like Justin said, to put her in this position to be the representative on the Raw side to go for Queen of the Ring. And Io Sky, the little things she does too that I like, not only the backstage, that video package that we saw, which I thought was great. I thought it was awesome. We talk about it all the time. WWE does tremendous video packages. And with Io Sky, the thing she did at the end of the match, which I liked, was she didn't go wild after the match. She did that little thing where after she got pinned, she was going for that sunset flip, which got blocked. And, you know, Lyra just sat down and covered her, hooked the legs, 1, 2, 3. And when she got out of it, she just looked around like in disbelief, like, I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe and you could see that in her face and you felt that emotion. And I like that because, you know, a lot of people get up screaming, yelling, no, no, you know, especially if you're a heel. With her, it was more of like, what just happened? I can't believe I lost my opportunity at Queen of the Ring. So I like those little things, the little nuances that make sense to me. And Lyra, like you said, Jack, it's going to be interesting as a babyface going in. We're looking at the other bracket already going, okay, is she going to face a dominant, you know, get that. Now I got to do it in a female version. How do you do David and Goliath? What is Goliath in a female? I mean, but not, if it is Nia, I mean,
Goliatha,
that's the,
I don't
Goliatha,
know.
Something like that. That is the quintessential David and Goliath story where the baby face fights from underneath to try and, you know, overcome the heel. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens on the SmackDown side going into Queen of the Ring. But I like where they're going with the two ladies we saw tonight, given plenty of time in that match, and they showed that they can go.
I'm a big Lyra Valkyrie fan because, as I've said many times, I was a big NXT UK fan, and she was over there. And similar to bands and things, when you see them before they've made it big and you see them start to grow, you're like, I like them. So I'm always going to be a Lyra Valkyrie fan because I saw her back in the NXT UK day. So I'm really happy for her, really happy she's doing well, and we'll have to see where it goes. I'm excited for her, though. But definitely, I mean, when you've got Becky Lynch, like, gassing you up before matches, you're getting through a very tough tournament to the finals. Clearly, they see big things for Lyra Valkyria. So now it's just time to make it happen. Speaking of Becky Lynch, she came out and she talks some smack to Liv Morgan. That brings Liv Morgan out, and they go back and forth. Liv Morgan says that Becky Lynch is selfish, and Becky Lynch wants to fight right away. Liv Morgan says, nah, we'll do it on Saturday. Justin, I feel like over the past few weeks, at least for me, Liv Morgan has really started to settle into this role. And at first, it felt like she was playing a character. It's starting to feel more natural for her.
Yes, I 100% agree. You know, Liv Morgan truly, I got the chance to interview her in the last 2 years. It was a fun interview. She was very pleasant. And she truly is. She's been a fan her whole life. She grew up as a fan. This is not a situation where she was a athlete somewhere and they put her in the PC and taught her pro wrestling sports entertainment. She's been a fan her whole life. And it was so fun to do that interview with her. And then even off camera, us just talking as just two lifelong fans, we're similar age and everything. And so when she was a babyface, that was kind of the thing, right? She was a babyface who was happy to be here. She had seen her girlhood dream had come true that she was a WWE superstar. But as feel good as that is, that is only going to take you so far. You know, not everybody's going to have a Shawn Michaels 1996 boyhood dreams come true kind of run. And so I remember thinking to myself, they're going to have to find something more with her. And I think they're finally at it. As you just said, Jack, she's feeling like she's starting to speak it has an authenticity to it. The laugh that she's just infusing into, like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed for you, and what she's following up with, it's feeling natural. The forearm she gave to Lyra later in the night backstage, like this is starting to feel like a true representation of Liv Morgan, the bad girl, turned up 1,000. She's on her revenge tour. I like that. And oh, by the way, she's just got some natural built-in heat that's always going to be able to be cashed back in on when Mommy returns. And that she's obviously the credit of who injured and took Mommy out of the action. So I'm feeling good right now. I'm calling the accountant. I'm calling my wrestling accountant tomorrow. I'm buying more Liv Morgan stock because I feel like it's going to continue to go up.
I think that is a good purchase. I'd bet it all on Liv Morgan. As you know, I am frugal with my bets. But Jimmy, yeah, I think everything's looking good for Liv. I want your thoughts on her. And also, Becky Lynch is the champion. How do you think she's handling herself? I thought this was, between the two, one of her better ones as well.
Yeah, I thought it was fine, but for Becky, that is. And I the only problem I had with it just felt like too much like what we're hearing from champions nowadays, especially babyface champions. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for all of you. I'm doing this for the people. Everything is for the people. It seems like it's too much of the same thing from all the champions. And I like a little difference. You know what? I do this for you, but at the same time, I do it for myself as well. It's not just for you. It's, you know, I achieve my goals and now you get to enjoy this or something like this. I don't know. In a way, say it in a way that the babyface would say it. The way I'm saying it is not heelish, but I think you get my drift. No, go ahead, Justin.
No, I think that's a great point that you make about Becky. I'm looking at this over here. I'm reading Becky's book right now, and I'm enjoying it. I'm only in the first like 50 pages, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm still in her early days of training in Ireland. I'm enjoying it, and I'm a fan of hers. But I will say, off of what you were talking about, Jimmy, I do feel like Becky, as the babyface that she is, as the man, I feel like it feels like they're running. They're a little out of steam. And obviously we know she was not the planned women's champion for this time. She lost at Mania. She's a champion because Rhea got injured. I feel like they're a little out of steam with her. I'm not saying that like she's washed up. She physically can still go. But I mean, from a character standpoint of what to say, I feel like there needs to be a little, I don't know if you repackage somebody who's risen to the heights that she has, but I don't know. I think a change of direction could do her well, but she's kind of just being the placeholder of the champion because she's reliable and she's healthy. And so that's where we're at. But I would not be shocked if her days as champion are numbered, just on a sense of like, you know, we gotta freshen up the tank here with Becky. We gotta find something fresh and new for her.
Yeah. It feels like I'm with you, Justin. It's tricky because she has been such a big star. You can't just, it's tough to just change someone, but I guess, I don't know. They did it with Stone Cold when he started singing songs with Kurt Angle, and The Rock has done it. And
I mean, you know, they did that with Stone Cold in some ways to preserve his body. They figured if we can, we'll get Steve a break and let him sing Kumbaya with Kurt Angle.
I'm just saying, if she's playing the guitar, singing with Chad Gable backstage one of these days, I'm in for it. I'm ready for it.
Well, why not turn Seth when he comes back too, surprisingly, and have him like the evil power couple?
Yeah.
Something. I don't know. Yeah, I get you, because it is, she's almost kind of gotten that on Raw. It feels a little bit like when Jade Cargill's in AEW, and you're kind of like, this person's just such a big star. How do you not have them in the main event or in the title picture? But you can't have them always in the title picture. You got to do something with her. It's a tough spot.
Yeah, I also think, I mean, look, Becky's been in WrestleMania main event. I mean, she has risen to such heights in this new era of women getting, you know, way more respect and way more credit, you know, way more time. It's like now we have this whole new crop of women that are on the rise, of Jade, of Tiffany Stratton, of Lyra. It's almost like, well, Becky, I appreciate you, but I want to see some of these ladies rise up. I want to make, you know, that's kind of, it feels like the tank of the man is kind of, it's just low. We need to sit back and re-energize a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe, like you said, like the old saying goes, maybe a little absence makes the heart grow fonder. Yeah. So, you know, let her take a little break, which probably needed as well.
Her book's great so far.
Yeah, we'll see what she has planned and what happens. Sami Zayn has a couple of issues going on. Says that if he had to pick between mind, body, and soul, he picks soul every time. Gable comes out and says he's too nice of a guy, and I agree. He's such a sweetheart. We get a match, and Gable's upset that Alpha Academy isn't helping enough. Gable kicks Akira and Maxine out from ringside. Otis hesitates at first, but eventually hits Sammy, allowing Chad Gable to get the win. Later, Bronson Reed says he's just going to beat Sammy. He doesn't care about all the personal stuff. Otis apologizes for getting involved in Sammy's match, and Chad thinks it's just to make Sammy soft. Jimmy, I feel like this is perfect pro wrestling. I mean, you got the stories, you've got the questions of who's going to turn on who, you got championship gold on the line, you've got talented wrestlers. I feel like this is like the good stuff.
It is, and it's multi-layered. It's not only between Sammy and Chad, it's also we've got that layer between Chad and Otis and the rest of the Alpha Academy, and Sammy plays a factor in that as well. And you see Otis being conflicted for doing what he did and causing Sammy to lose the match and all. I love how many layers are put into this, and little things. You talk about Easter eggs, and like you've said many times before, Justin, the WWE doesn't put things on TV just for the heck of it. Before he started talking to Otis after the match in the backstage area, he was talking to the Creed brothers, and they were just having a conversation. It sounded like a simple conversation, but as the Creed brothers left, what did he say? Think about what we talked about. We don't know what they talked about because they didn't put that on camera. There we go. Now they, you know, here's an Olympic athlete who wants to train maybe the Creed brothers. We thought about that before. And the other thing I like too is we got the crowd chanting for Otis. But who got the crowd chanting for Otis? It was Sammy.
Sammy
was the one got him. See, he's being unselfish in that to help the story along, and that's what I like too. There's a lot of little things that are happening here that I really like. I know people are going to make that obvious comparison between Chad Gable and Kurt Angle, especially during the "You Suck" chants, which were prominent all night. But hey, that's okay. People are saying, "Oh, you're rehashing this whole thing." No, you're not rehashing it. It's a different iteration of it. It's kind of taking it and putting his own spin on it. And I like that. He's not going to grab a ukulele and start singing Jimmy Crack Corner and I Don't Care. It's great.
With
I
Becky
love it.
Lynch, he could, though.
Maybe.
Them both playing. Come on, it'd be great. Adonde is saying this was built for Gable and Sammy, but Otis is coming out of this money with a AOK sign. Justin, this is like, I think this is the new WWE in that, yes, it is for Sammy and Gable, but they know exactly what they're doing with Otis right now.
Yeah. I mean, I love there's all these different players, but everybody matters. You know, you got Sammy, who's a fighting champion. You know, you got Gable. Gable's being, you know, this terrible drill sergeant, you know, putting down, you know, Alpha Academy. So they're all, you know, we're waiting for all of them to stand up for themselves. But you got Bronson Reed, who's lurking around ready to pound, you know, and then the Creed brothers, like, where, you know, I love this. This is great. Otis, I mean, we are just waiting for the huge pop it's going to be whenever Otis finally stands up to Gable. And you know what, again, going back to the Kurt Angle comparisons, and certainly if Gable were to pair up with the Creed brothers, I would very much be, you know, feel like a modern day Kurt Angle, Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin. But if we inevitably have a Chad Gable versus Otis match, and that's a match I think you can put on a PLE. And if it's not on a PLE, if it doesn't work out schedule wise, timeline wise, it absolutely could be a match that they main event to Raw. It has that much story behind it. What a great touch. If whether it's just backstage as Otis is getting ready, or dare I even say Otis accompanied to the ring. What if Kurt Angle did a little coaching up to Otis? What if Kurt Angle showed up unadvertised and was backstage as Otis is getting ready and said, "Look, you're taking on an Olympic hero. You need an Olympic hero to tell you how to beat this guy. or again, that's one way. Or the surprise is Otis makes his big entrance in the ring, and the arena's going crazy, and then all of a sudden Kurt Angle comes walking behind him, and we find him, and oh my god, Kurt's been training.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And get Otis ready. I mean, I think there's so much potential here, but right now they have something with all of this, and I love it. This is a great piece of business going on the mid-card. It's elevating everybody.
And what I love about it too is all that sounds great, but I'm thinking if they went the other way, that'd be great. If Otis just doubled down and beat up Sammy at the in Saudi Arabia and decided to go so full bad guy, everyone would hate him because we want him to be a good guy so much. Or what if Kurt Angle comes out? You're right. And he's like, hey, I'm here with Otis. I trained you. And then he throws in the towel on Otis and is like, look, us Olympians stick together, buddy. And then everyone boos Kurt. You could do so much stuff. And you're like, this is fantastic. And I love it so much. And Otis just, I feel glad. I'm so glad that he's getting his time to shine because he was so big right as they were going into the pandemic era when he was with Mandy and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. He won the Money in the Bank. I feel like that's going to be a trivia note one of these days that Otis is a Money in the Bank winner.
And then where did he win that Money in the Bank?
That was on top of the towers, right?
On top of the Titan Tower. That's part of the trivia.
That would be some fun stuff to see people watch back and like when Baron Corbin threw Rey Mysterio off the side of the building.
See, this is, I know this is a little off topic. This is one of the things I like about this new era in WWE is they're not giving up on talent. They're giving them an opportunity to reinvent and try again, as opposed to the old regime, which say, didn't work. Guess what? Creative has nothing for you.
Yeah. It's all really, really great. This is, like I said, I think what they're doing here is probably some of their most brilliant stuff. I have a couple questions for you, Jimmy Corderas. Specifically, in this matchup, first off, a lot of referee distractions. Obviously, that was the story of the match. I know that you are particular about your referee distractions. Based on this match, I know the story of the match was a certain setup. How did you feel about them in this case?
I like them when they happen quickly. I don't like the long referee distractions that take too much time because it just makes the heat goes to the wrong person. I've said this how many times before. When a referee distraction is quick, and it looks like the heel is outsmarting the babyface, then it works. If it looks like, hey, just go stand over there and let him pop up on the apron for 10, 15, 20 seconds, then it's like, oh, come on, man. You don't know something's going on behind your back. You've been doing this for how many years now? It just looks ridiculous in the eyes of the fans. I get what they're trying to do, but I think in this case, I would have maybe not done as many of them, but I get why they did it at the same time. It doesn't mean I liked it. It just means, you know, I get why. It just sometimes they overdo it. A lot of companies tend to do it, but, yeah. You know, just keep it down to a minimum. And when you do it, make it quick and make it look like you're outmaneuvered by the heel in the process of trying to do your job.
Yeah, these ones were definitely very long, but I was curious because there was clearly a story that was happening with this. It wasn't just them trying to cheat. We were supposed to see them be conflicted and stuff. So it was a little different. This is sometimes I like to ask you questions, Jimmy, because I know people on Twitter are going to have their questions. They're going to say, well, you judge one show differently than another show. You on AEW, you've been very upset about champions in non-title matches and things of that nature. This was a champion, not in a title match. It was a singles match, and they have a match lined up next week or at the end of the week. How did you feel about this setup? Were you okay with it because of storyline-wise, or were you still upset about it?
I'm still not upset, but I'm still not a fan of non-title matches because when a champion has a match, the title should be on the line, bottom line. Even this case, you know, they can make an excuse where they say, oh, this was an impromptu match. It wasn't set up. It wasn't an official title match. And that's one way to get out of it. But it still doesn't sit well with me. But the other one, too, is that bothers me is when they have matches where you have to beat the champion to get a shot at the champion. That one bothers me even more.
That's no sense.
Yeah, it makes absolutely zero sense. So you have to beat the champion twice in order to win the championship.
Scott Langford agrees, says a champion should never be in a singles match without the title. I agree. And then Adam Staples says, I agree with Jimmy. Champions should not lose before a title match as well. And then Adonde says, yeah, but this wasn't a championship eliminator match. I hate those two. We need to just those and picture in picture. Let's just get rid of both of them. I don't like both of them.
And I see that Pat McAfee found his Telestrator again tonight. Please, somebody lose it for him. Step on it, anything.
Braun Breaker had his debut match against Kale Dixon, and I lost it all. I bet it on Kale at this one. A few spears and Kale couldn't continue, but the beatdown certainly did. Breaker beats Kale with a chair and a stretcher comes out. Kiana James tries to ask Pierce if she can help, and he says nope, and she's off in another direction. Braun says Pierce can't control him, and this is all on Adam Pierce. Later, while Ricochet is chatting with Ilya Dragunov, Braun Breaker killed him, and Ilya Dragunov said, I believe, I don't want that smoke, and he did not get involved. Justin, Braun Breaker, another person clearly they have some big intentions for. How do you rate his debut?
I mean, he very much, you know, grabbed my attention tonight and he grabbed the audience attention. I guess what I'm curious about is he a heel or a face? You know, he goes against the unknown. I know Kale Dixon's been on NXT Level Up, but you know, for all intents and purposes, is an unknown to the vast majority of the audience. Gets killed. Audience is chanting more, more, more. They just want to see the bloodbath continue. So that kind of feels like, oh wow, he's a babyface. They just want to see him, you know, destruct. But then you have the referees and officials and Adam Pearce come out, and Braun, you know, severs the man's head with the chair in between the steps, and then he's attacking people. He's attacking Ricochet, and Ricochet's a good guy. Ricochet's your NXT Speed Champion for crying out loud. So I'm like, well, you know, he's getting the fan reaction of a face that they want to just see him continue to kill people, but he's defying authority and he's just run amok here at Raw, and that tends to be a heel thing. So I don't know what to think. I'm not sure. Am I supposed to be cheering or booing? Am I supposed to feel bad for Kale Dixon, or am I supposed to feel good for being on the Braun Breaker train? I don't know.
Jimmy, how much money did you lose on Kale Dixon? And I'm kind of adjusting here. I felt like if I explained this to somebody, you would say, oh yeah, he's a bad guy for sure. But I certainly wasn't booing the guy. I was kind of like, who else is he going to wreck before the end of the night? I was kind of into it. What about you?
I think that had the reverse effect. Obviously, he was meant to be a heel because a babyface wouldn't react the way he did against Kale Dixon, the way he something I've never, I don't know, recall ever seeing that move before where he wedged the head in between the stairs, the V in the stairs, and then used the chair there. I think that's new. It inventive, but yeah, and sounded even worse.
And Jimmy, sorry to cut you off, but I don't know if they've done that spot just because they're so adamant usually about not even if it's gimmicked of how you're going to land everything, just taking an object like a chair to the head. So that really had effect. I agree.
And the way they shot it too. So it wasn't really, it was like a quick switch of the camera shot. So, you know, and I love the fact that they did the stretcher job Thank you for not getting up, Cale Dixon. But, you know, I thought you're right. It is a little confusing because it's almost like people want to see a real badass. Mm-hmm. And he's that's what he's coming across as. And I like the story going along that he's telling Adam Pearce, this is your fault. This is what you, what you're seeing now is because of you.
Yeah, go ahead. His reasoning's not a heel reasoning.
Right.
You drafted me. You spent a draft pick on me, but you're telling me you had no room in this, what, a 16-person turn? What, you had no room for me to have a spot in the tournament? Like, I mean, it's not a heel motivation. It's kind of, you know, and then they show him, they close up to him when he's at the turnbuckle, just kind of all dismayed. He's like, and they're trying to like pick up the audio. He's like, first they don't put me in the tournament, now they give me this jabroni. Like, I mean, I mean, we can all, it's kind of relatable. We're kind of like, well, yeah, you know, they are kind of overlooking you, dude. The dude runs the ropes 23 miles per hour, as Michael Cole keeps telling me. I mean, so if he's supposed to be a heel, we're missing the mark here, Triple H.
Not only that, he's got a hell of a traction with those boots to run around the ring at 23 miles an hour. Let me put it, and then hit the spear. But the spear he hit on Ricochet, I would rather take the chair shot, because I think you could be safer with that thing in the wedge than that spear into the backstage area. That's for sure.
Yeah. Ricochet, we hardly knew you. We're going to miss you, buddy.
He's been wearing nice suits lately. Now, see what happens?
Jeez.
And also, they're letting McAfee bark like a dog, and McAfee's all on the Braun break. And Pat usually is pretty. He's not Pat's not as the color guy. Pat is not the traditional. Well, the color guy is the heel supporter. No, Pat's telling you how much Chad Gable sucks and this and that. So Pat's, you know, barking for Braun again. That tells me Braun's okay.
And you know, Pat McAfee, when he picks somebody like with the barking thing or whatever he's going to do, that person tends to get over pretty well. Like when he was doing the Shinsuke thing, Shinsuke was popular. The Jey Uso thing, Jey Uso's popular. I'm not saying it's just Pat McAfee, but if Pat McAfee's barking for Braun, it's going to work. Like, it's just, I don't know. I can imagine everyone when he comes out, rah, 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 rah. It's so obnoxious.
I'm not going to say it. I wanted to say something, but I'm not going to say it. It's,
well, you can't.
Now you got to say it.
It's our podcast.
Say whatever you want to say.
I got a really great joke, but I'm not going to tell you.
No, I don't know if it's a great
Nobody's watching. It's fine. Just tell Jack and I.
No, because you mentioned he's you know, usually the commentators are heel supporters, but McAfee's a hell of an athletic supporter. Sorry, I can't help myself. Anyways.
That is perfect. See, I'm glad you said it.
Hey, if you read the foreword to my book, I'm the king of dad jokes, according to Edge. I still call him Edge.
Pat knows when to shake his moneymaker. I think I don't know what they want us to feel, but I'm a fan of Braun Breaker. I can't wait to see who he murders next week. It's like Dexter. Who's going to kill this week? I don't know, but I'm excited to see it.
Should have heard him go, I'll be back.
We got Awesome Truth and Judgment Day. Awesome Truth's cat talking to New Catch Republic and the ghost of Andre when Damian Priest tells Carlito that he needs to keep earning his keep around the clubhouse. During the match, Carlito gets involved, but he gets neutralized by Braun Strowman, who chases JD right into an AA, and Awesome Truth retains. Afterwards, Damian Priest is upset and says he doesn't recognize the group anymore, and Finn agrees. Jimmy, I felt like clearly we're going to get a matchup between JD and Braun Strowman and Awesome Truth retain. I would like your thoughts on those. But also, a few things happened in this one where before the match, Finn Balor's like, hey, Damian, I wish it was me and you out there. And then also after the match, even he agreed with Damian Priest. Yeah, what's up with you guys? Figure it out. Mm-hmm. What's going on with Judgment Day? What's going on with Finn Balor?
They're obviously teasing a split. They have been for a long while, but now with Damian Priest walking off on them, almost turning his back. It almost felt like he was turning his back on Judgment Day. That adds another layer to it. And it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here, because will they officially become go their separate ways? Will Dom side with Carlito and form a different group? Will Finn Balor stay by by Damian Priest's side, but apparently Damian Priest says he doesn't want anybody's help. He doesn't need their help. So is he on his way to transitioning over to becoming a babyface champion after his match with Drew McIntyre at the Clash of the Castle? Because obviously Drew's going to get the tremendous ovation there. So if he retains by that time, you know, that could possibly be his last hurrah as a heel before he goes on to in another direction. So it's going to be interesting. They put layers into it. The Liv Morgan thing with Dom Mysterio also, let's not forget about that because that's in play as well. So there's a lot of things going on here.
Did you guys catch tonight's Liv Judgment Day Easter egg?
No. What happened?
No.
When they kicked off Raw and they were showing the entrances into the building, if you go back, I forget whose entrance it was. If you go back and watch closely, you will see in the background of the parking lot, Liv Morgan gets out of a car. So does Finn Balor.
Ooh. Maybe the tea, ladies and gentlemen. I'm excited for the tea. Everyone says that wrestling is a guy's soap opera. Well, sign me up. I'm ready for it. Justin, Freddie Prinze Jr. pitched a storyline, and he said, it's obvious that things aren't going well and there's no clear leader. Liv Morgan is infiltrating them somehow and getting her hooks into Dominic Mysterio, and she's literally going to take everything from Mommy. What if it's all happening on purpose so that when Rhea comes back, she is the proven leader and pulls them all back together? I'd love your thoughts on that. And now that you said your thing, I feel like Finn stepping up is because of Liv Morgan. That's the story.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. They've been teasing Judgment Day. I feel like Judgment Day has been in turmoil for a lot of months, yet they've still managed to accomplish things, right? Like, Rhea's had her incredible run until she got injured. Priest cashes in Money in the Bank and wins world title. But I'm kind of ready for it to be done. I'm ready. Like, it's been, but now I'm like, all right, now I really can see like something like Liv's one week, Liv's coming out of a dressing room with Dom in the background. Now she's coming out of a car with Finn. Like, so I feel like we're getting to something. So I'm trying to be patient because I feel like they have finally some big explosion set and ready, and I'm ready to see it happen. I'm also ready. Well, first of all, and also, by the way, awesome truth. It's great to see they're so over the way they are now. Mm-hmm. These days, the Miz and R-Truth veterans, and they're over the way they are. So shout out to them. But with Judgment Day, I'm ready to see the explosion, ready to see the implosion. And also, again, I guess I got to thank Priest. We're supposed to start to get ready to see him maybe as a face, right? Because the way he's acting towards the other guys who are way more heelish than he is right now to the audience, and Drew McIntyre's calling his shot, wanting to take on Priest, calling Priest a paper champion, and there ain't no bigger heel right now in WWE than Drew. So, I mean, I got to think we are aligning the stars up for Priest to become a babyface here.
Yeah, my biggest thought on this before the Liv Morgan bombshell that Justin just dropped on me was that maybe this split up seemed pretty odd. It felt like it was gonna be everyone versus Damian, but I'm wondering if maybe the group splits a little more evenly than that after how Finn was asking. As Adam Staples says, it's been teasing a breakup for Judgment Day for a while too long. They need to just do it now. I got a feeling when it happens we're gonna like it though.
I want to see an implosion, but also if the touch is, if Liv is to win, if Liv wins the women's title that Rhea had to vacate, and Liv manages to get herself into Judgment Day, and so Rhea comes back and Liv is there as the female holding that title in that group, and Rhea goes, oh, what the hell, guys? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of potential. So it's, I'm going to trust the process. This is the truest soap opera storyline as there ever was. I'm going to trust the process and just try to follow along.
We also have a match in the women's tag team division. Baszler and Starks, they are going to get a tag team title shot. And Sonya Deville was palling around backstage and introducing herself. Looks like this is probably going to happen sooner rather than later, Jimmy. What do you make of this? It looked like maybe Sonya Deville is more excited to meet Starks than she was to see Baszler.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It obviously there's something in play here with Sonya Deville, where her allegiance lies. Again, it's a question, and it leaves it's a cliffhanger for later, and that's what people like. And you know, tune in to find out. Hopefully, this has enough legs to it where people will want to see what goes on further. And it's we'll see. I didn't get too much out of it. It didn't like wow me or anything like that, unfortunately, but. You know, it's there. Well, let's see where it goes. I'm always trying to stay positive until it happens, and then I can critique it.
Yeah, Justin, it was. I'm a big fan of Sonya Deville. I'm glad she's back in this. I'm going to bring it up because we bring it up on the AEW show a lot, but this division does feel like it's constantly doing. Let's throw everyone in a match and pick a number one contender that way for this pay per view or this PLE. It seems like this division is in a constant rotation of that. What do they got to do to get this division going? Because it feels like they've been struggling with this for a long time.
But I'll counter that with it. I feel like all the teams that they threw out in this fatal in this four way tonight, like everybody's at least established as a team, and there's been at least some consistency on TV, if you know who's who and who's with who. You know, I mean, I saw some crazy stat today that in the year, as you compare it to AEW, Jack, so I'm going to just go down this rabbit hole real quick. And so far in the first 5 months of the year 2024, that across all of AEW shows, Dynamite, Rampage, Collision, and also across Ring of Honor, that brand, the amount of wrestlers who have had TV matches of five matches or less.
Mm-hmm.
So highlighting the inconsistency of just look at here, look here, look here. You know how many wrestlers? And I saw the sheet and it backs up 130 wrestlers. And so I say that to counter your point of, I know what you're saying. The women's tag division is by no means perfectly booked and it's still trying to find its footing. But when I looked at that match and I saw four tag teams in the ring, I knew all four tag teams. Mm-hmm. I've had at least a callback to all four and how they've got there. And so that at least gives me some context. Whereas more often than not, if you throw four tag teams in an AEW ring, I would have to ask the question, who's that? And then it would take an AEW historian to tell me, well, 27 days ago and 3 moons ago, they were on this show and they did this thing I have a wife and two kids and a couple jobs. You got to streamline a little bit more for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not much to say here. Baszler and Starks make sense. They're not over, but they're a team. They look good together. So we'll see where it goes. Sonya Deville, love her. Glad to see her back, but not much more to take from this. Well, this women's tag division is a work in progress. They have a lot of good talent, but still trying to establish everybody as a project.
The other thing that I'm not thrilled with again is this. It seems to be the flavor of the day to have fatal four-way matches, whether it's in tag or whatever form, to decide the next contender, as opposed to having not tournament, but you know, elimination mm-hmm. matches. So you know, that sort of thing. It's just again, they did it with the men. They're doing mm-hmm. it here. This again, like the promo we talked about earlier with Becky Lynch, it seems like, you know, insert this formula here and formula 1A and 1B sort of thing.
Yeah. Chris Bricks comes in and says, late to the chat. What's up, fellas? Hopefully not too late to get a birthday shout out. Chris Bricks, happy birthday. Thanks for spending it with us. Hope it's a good one. Where are you celebrating it at? What location are you in? It's always fun. I got that from Justin. I'm stealing his gimmick. I like to hear where people are from.
He's celebrating and watching us.
Yeah.
Party on, Wayne.
So last things for this one before we get into our predictions. Now, predictions are everyone's favorite thing. So this is really just a buffer so everyone has time to get ready for their predictions as well. And someone who's going to keep track, because we're going to bet everything, me and Jimmy Corderas. It's all on the line. Ludwig talks a little bit about Sheamus. Looks like something's building there. Drew McIntyre, of course, continues his string of talking trash. And Karrion Kross approaches the New Day again. Jimmy, any thoughts on any of these bits?
I like Ludwig very much tonight. I thought he really demonstrated that he's starting to embrace this character of his and getting a little more evil mm-hmm. and getting a little more confident. And it came across, especially in his trash talking of Sheamus and telling him that he's going to take care of business with him. And Drew, of course, runs down, and Drew's just magic. What more can you say about him? And as far as the New Day and Karrion Kross, it looks like Kofi Kingston. We saw that promo last week of him sitting in the locker room, in a dark locker room, though, almost like a completely different than that fun-loving Kofi Kingston that we see with New Day. It was completely different. So maybe something with Karrion Kross getting into his head and thinking, you know, you've been this guy for long enough now. We need to see a different side of you. Come to my side. I will show you the way, or something along those lines, and transform Kofi into something we have never seen before.
Yeah. I love that. You know, I'm a Karrion Kross fan, but I've been a critic of this final testament has just been, what are we doing? What's the point? And then all the way down to them, you know, losing a count of a crooked referee and Uncle Bully at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering what's going on here. And I like last week, Kofi's walking in the hallway, as Jimmy said, dark hallway, and there's just Kross standing there, just kind of, you know, just chirping in his ear. This week, he's in the trainer's room to Woods, and I love the little, it's never too late to turn things mm-hmm. around. So I like the fact that he's double recruiting one of them to backstab the other and to join his side. Finally, there's something of some substance here, some real substance of, ooh, I can't wait to watch next week and see who does he approach next week and what does he say. I like this.
Mm-hmm. I got to give a shout out to Karrion Kross too, because I feel like if you pulled up like five random Karrion Kross moments in WWE from NXT to now, you would get five different facial hair combos every time he's on screen. I feel like it looks different today with the ponytail and the mustache. I was like, dude, this guy, he's like a Mr. Potato Head. He just pops on a different outfit for whatever he wants to do for that day. And it looks great. Like, how do you pull that off, dude? It takes forever to change your hair.
My favorite commentary I saw tonight on social media was Karrion Kross looks like if Ted Lasso went down a dark bender.
That's fantastic.
Can I give a quick thank you to Tony Hayes in our chat there, saying I look like a young Mike Pinder from the Moody Blues.
Oh yes.
And no, yeah. I could only play a saxophone. I can't play a mellotron or whatever that is.
What is a mellotron? Is that
I have no idea. It's some kind of extraterrestrial instrument for some, as far as I know. I have no idea.
No,
but if you want to hear
it really quick, it looks like a piano.
I can do that.
Chris Bricks, by the way, says he's out in Central Florida in DeBari. I don't know how to pronounce it, but thanks for tuning in, Chris. We appreciate you. Now let's get to some predictions. Let's get to the big money stuff. Ooh. Let's get to the stuff that everyone wants to really see what's going on. So some of the chat, I'm going to ask you to keep track of this for us, if you wouldn't mind, because I clearly do not keep track of these things.
All right. Okay.
And we're going to go through, and we're going to start with Justin, because I go across here. Justin, and everyone in the chat, feel free to play along and leave in the comments. If you're watching later, leave a comment with all of your predictions as well. Queen of the Ring final, Io Sky, we figured out not Io Sky, Lyra Valkyria versus Nia Jax or Bianca Belair. Who's gonna win it?
Well, it's gonna be Lyra versus Nia Jax. I'm gonna follow through with Lyra on the logic of Nia Jax is just such already an established heel. While her as an obnoxious queen would be something, I'm just going to go with it could do more for Lyra's identity. That said, I want to acknowledge something that we talked about on Busted Open and I've seen people on social. Wouldn't it be something, though, if Nia Jax was going to win this? Nia Jax is part of that family tree that Dwayne Johnson showed. Mm-hmm. What if she was the first female member officially in the bloodline? I'm going Lyra, but I just want to put that out there. Consider it a reason to watch the show and just see what happens.
Adam Staples saying Nia Jax versus Lyra and Nia wins. Baby Ice says Nia. Baby Ice always picks the bad guy. Tut Graf says Nia Jax as well. You know what? I'm going to say Nia Jax as well. I think her being the queen of the ring would just be so unbearable. It'd be great. But you know what? I would love to see her join the bloodline. Justin, I'm with you. I'd like to see her take it over. I'd like her to be the new tribal chief for right now. I think her being the boss of everyone, I could imagine her yelling at Paul Heyman. I think she could be fantastic.
Well, I could see her yelling at Paul Heyman, but it would be to the bloodline has such heel power. If you could extend it into the women's division, that's something. Mm-hmm. If you extend that, and you know, that's
Dro saying Nia as well. Baby Ice says welcome back to Team Heel. Tommy says Lyra for the major upset. And then Adonde says Lyra could really use this, but Nia takes a lot of L's. Tough call. Jimmy, what's your pick?
Well, you made it really tough for me, Jack, because I was leaning Nia Jax in this one. And since we have the bet going on, I almost want to go the other way, but I'm sure we'll go the other way on a different one. So I'm going to take Nia Jax because I think in this case, yes, we traditionally have heel King of the Rings and Queen of the Rings because it makes sense for them to be the pompous person with the crown. But yes, Lyra could use this. It would really propel her career. But a great showing here against Nia Jax would help Lyra just as much, I think. If not, it won't be as much as the Queen of the Ring. But unfortunately, I have to agree with you, Jack. I'm going to go Nia.
So you're going to get this one right. our next matchup, and I want everyone's opinion on this one. This is going to be an interesting one as well. Gunther versus Randy Orton or Tama Tonga. And I got to give a shout out to Ryan who puts these together. All capitals with Gunther in the name, by the way. The right way to spell the Ring General's name.
There you go.
I am going with, I think it'll be Gunther versus Randy Orton. And I think Gunther's going to win it. I think Bloodline's going to get involved, but I think Gunther's going to get the win and Gunther will be your King General. Jimmy, what about you?
Okay, so you're going Gunther. I'm keeping
track. You said Bloodline's going to get involved?
I think they'll get some revenge on Randy Orton. It'll be a...
Okay.
No, I kind of get that, and you know, I think Gunther versus Randy would be a master clinic in ring psychology and how to tell story and have a really hell of a match. But I got a feeling that, yeah, I know it's two heels, but oh boy, this is a tough one. I'm going to go Tama Tonga only because I have a feeling that someone from the bloodline will be holding a crown. And if you need someone to hold the crown, I know. I'm going off the board with Tama Tonga.
Jimmy with a spicy pick. Tama Tonga. Does anyone in the chat? Adam Staples saying Gunther. Chris Brick saying Gunther. Tutgraf saying Gunther. Dro saying Gunther. It's Gunther all the way. Justin, what do you say?
Look, I had Tama Tonga in the finals when I thought it would be him versus Jay. I just thought it makes sense to have this new addition to this new bloodline against Jey Uso. But now that Jay's not involved, it does seem weird to have Tama Tonga lose in a semifinal match. But I also just think it's even weirder to have Tama Tonga versus Gunther, a heel versus heel. Even though I think the people respect Gunther to a certain extent for his work, I'm going to have to say it's Gunther versus Randy Orton, and it's going to be fire. First time ever, as best I know. But if they didn't have Gunther lose up to this point, if they didn't have him lose to let main event Jey Uso go on and yeet in the finals, I don't think they have any plan for Gunther to lose. So I'm picking Gunther, the Ring General, as your King of the Ring.
Oh, man, this is going to be so good.
I will say this. I will be honest, from a match standpoint, I hope I'm wrong. Because Randy versus Gunther, I've said it on Twitter a couple of times that I think Randy Orton is the most complete wrestler on the planet today. Of course, I got a lot of heat for it because I left out whoever's favorite.
Why are you so biased, Jimmy?
Because the check he, stamp, you know what I mean.
He couldn't hold a candle to Okada, Jimmy.
Yeah, how many matches in the Tokyo Dome has he had, Jimmy?
I don't know. I haven't watched any. Anyways.
I don't know. Has he had a, he might have had one.
Had one way back when. I don't know.
Tugcraft says he respects the pick, Jimmy. I'm proud of you for picking that one. I should almost give you double points if you get that one right, but I won't.
I'll take him.
No. I'll let you pick the next one first because that's how it was going to go anyways. Intercontinental Championship triple threat, Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, Bronson Reed. Jimmy, who's going to be the Intercontinental Champion after all this is over?
I'm going to stick with Sammy and he retains. Yes. Bronson Reed has been making a lot of noise lately and sounding like a big mean monster. Chad Gable is, I think he doesn't need it. I really don't. I think he's doing such a great job and you can get away with him not being pinned, but what you do with Bronson Reed, I know he needs a big win somewhere down the line, but at the same time, Sammy is a great representative. People love him. Why don't do it yet? Don't let him lose just yet. So I'm going to go with Sammy.
Yeah, we got a lot of Sammys in the chat here, Justin. Are you going to let that sway you?
I'm sticking with Sammy. I think he's the Intercontinental Champion they want right now. I think Chad Gable's got a future of stuff, as we talked about earlier, with Otis. And then Bronson Reed. I think that they see a value in Bronson Reed, but it's just, you know, not everybody can be champion. There's only so many champions, right? I could see Bronson Reed even... You know, they put him on WWE speed with 3 minutes or less, and he's able to use his dominant power to squash and beat a Ricochet and takes a speed title just to, if they wanted just to keep him taking steps forward, so to speak. But yeah, but in terms of this, I'm saying Sami Zayn.
Well, I thought an interesting question was posed earlier today, or a comment was mind, body, soul. If I have to pick between those three, I pick the body. I'm going big Bronson Reed for this one, baby. Uh-oh. I think that
you're just dying to shave some hair, aren't you?
Manscaped, get on this, baby. You can make a killing.
Arm hair, chest hair. Move on down to the Manscaped region. Jack, you're going to be like a Ken doll.
Hey, I got all the gimmicks from them. So if you need.
Smooth as a baby. We got Bronson Reed. Look, because I feel like Sammy and Chad, they've got all this stuff going on, whether they have the title or not. Bronson Reed, you put a championship on him. Now both those guys have to chase him for it. I think you could build some story out of it. Plus, I support Bronson Reed. He has cool entrance music. We've got Justin, you're up next. Women's World Championship match, Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan.
All the momentum is in the favor of, and we need a title change on the show, Liv Morgan is going to take this title.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if I don't really have a whole lot to add to it. I think that everything we've talked about, this is Liv Morgan's to win. Yeah. Jimmy, try to write Becky down for you.
No, I agree with you guys. I think it's a three-way, it's a unanimous decision here because, like you said, if there's one title change that makes any kind of sense on this card, this is the one.
Everyone is saying Liv except for Bianca, who's saying Becky still. So Bianca, the outlier here. Uh-huh. No, Liv. Oh, never mind. No outliers.
Usually there's one in every crowd. What?
No outliers on that one. Undisputed WWE Championship match, Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul. Come on, Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is winning this. But, I mean, even the other title's not like there's no. Come on, Jimmy. Should I write Logan Paul for you?
No, I wouldn't even write. Even to try and make a different pick just for the bet purposes, I wouldn't do that because it just makes no sense. Though, if it was a title versus title, like last week, I said I had a what I thought would be an interesting scenario if it was a title versus title match, how to get out of that. But since it's not title versus title, I'm still going to give it to you anyways. What do you think of this? If this were the finish, if it was title versus title, we get a little bit of a referee distraction. Logan Paul loads up the Nux. The referee catches him, pulls the Nux away. And as he turns around to give it to the ringside attendant or whoever is out there, He pulls out a second set of nucks. Bam. Blasts Cody. Sticks it under his arm. Covers. 1, 2, 3. Referee goes, gets the belt, the world championship, hands it to Logan Paul, and then he goes to raise his arm. As he's holding this arm up, he raises the other arm. The nucks fall out. Referee goes, picks him up, goes, what the hell is this? What the hell is this? Oh, my God. Nope. This is it. Reverse the decision, DQ, and then you can have a match with them later down the road. And that's a, just my fantasy way of getting out of it, if it was title versus title. But since it's not, I think it's going to be a win by Cody.
I mean, I think Cody absolutely leaves Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, still champion. But even with it only being for Cody's world title, if you just wanted to give people just a kind of a funny, oh my God, really, you could still do that finish, Jimmy. And if the ref sees the knucks, and I mean, you're the referee here. Mm-hmm. Are you in favor of 1, 2, 3, bells ring, and then all of a sudden you catch the knucks? Can a ref reverse decision after? Can he start the match back over? Can Adam Pearce come out and start? Like, that actually is a very creative kind of fun finish. Everybody assumes this is so predictable. Cody's winning. Cody's winning. Cody's winning. But just to give people that finish, and for that brief moment go, oh my God, what the hell did Logan Paul just pin him?
That's what I was thinking. That was my thought process behind this idea for a finish, because people would go, oh, what the hell did we just see? I didn't expect this coming. And, you know, I think it would work, especially from a referee standpoint, because the referee could say, you know, obviously you're supposed to witness it as opposed to assume. But yeah, in this case, and you know, I think maybe even restart the match, like you said, Justin, just say, no.
My only question would be, and I'm not trying to talk down to the fan base there. I always wonder when trying to book things like this, when they're doing these shows in Saudi, I think they've gotten better over the years. I think in the more recent shows they've done there, it feels like the fans that are there, especially the fans that are closer to the ring, are truly into it, I think. I always think back to the first few shows they did in Saudi Arabia, where you looked ringside and it was like people obviously of higher class sitting in like these lounge chairs, and I don't even know if they follow the product, but they were just there because of a status thing or whatever. And it was just like, I feel like lately though, it's been more people that are following the product and get into it, which I hope. And so what I'm saying is, if you did they would call that a dusty finish. Would the crowd in Saudi Arabia be playing along enough? Would they be understanding what's going on? I guess that's just, maybe that's an ignorant statement of me to make, and I'm sorry if it is. That's my only thing, is just setting in place with it. But I think it's a great thing to try to do. Just make people, give people a quick cliffhanger of, oh my God, did Logan Paul just beat Cody Rhodes? Did he really do that?
In my thought process, I think that would be the exact place where it might work better. If you did it at a Backlash in Lyon, France, or somewhere like that, where they're not spoiled like the North American fans going, oh, you got to be kidding. No, I'm not buying that, you know.
Yeah. Headline, Canadian says Americans are spoiled.
Well, that would be top story at 11.
This will be a fun one. Everyone in the chat, again, go to the comments and leave your predictions real quick. It's going to be Queen of the Ring Final, King of the Ring Final, Intercontinental Championship, Women's World Championship, and Undisputed WWE Championship. Leave your predictions in the chat. We'll see or in the comment section. We'll see if anyone gets 100%, gets them all right. That'd be fun to see.
We still don't know what you put on the line, Jack.
I don't know. I don't know what to put on the line.
Jack, what would make you uncomfortable doing this podcast? Like, if you were like,
I'm uncomfortable now. What are you?
No, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, if you had to do this podcast, like, I don't know. Like,
we'll think of something. We'll think of something. I don't know. We'll try to come up with something. Maybe I have to grow. I'll grow my mustache in. Maybe that'll have to be what it is.
No, but if you grow the mustache in, you have to shave the rest of it off.
Oh yeah, of course. So I'll do it.
Shave your eyebrows.
I'm not shaving my eyebrows.
Oh come on, do it for the people.
I should have done it in my younger years. Have you seen those pics? My goodness.
You do the podcasts standing up, and you gotta like constantly be like in dance step. I don't know. Like,
look, Jimmy's only gotta have a mustache. I have a feeling Jimmy's facial hair grows back in one day. He's probably like Karrion Kross. He probably just holds his nose, it blows, and it just pops out. So that's not a big...
Most people brush their teeth 3 times a day. I got to shave 3 times a day.
Yeah, see, you know, this will grow back in a day. I got to think,
That's called the Greek curse.
Yes, exactly.
So I will grow out my facial hair, and then I'll shave it in a mustache for an episode.
You have to wear a hat. It suppresses that good head of hair.
Oh, yes, that too. Both. No, it's got to be a combination then.
Okay, a hat and
mustache.
Yeah, because you piss Jimmy and I off with your good flowing hair just out there flaunting under your headphones there.
Oh, this old thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, rub it in. Keep rubbing it in. Yeah.
Okay, you don't wash your hair for a week before we do the podcast next week.
Oh, you can't comb it and can't comb it.
Actually, I'm not on next Monday. Hang on, I'm not on next Monday. I'm out because I'm on vacation for the holiday. Oh, damn. Now this just affected me. I'm not going to be able to see the cash.
So I'll grow a mustache. I'll wear it, and I won't brush my hair. I'll have bad hair. I'll purposely make my hair as bad as possible.
Or get a henta tattoo on your forehead of Jimmy's name. It's henta. It'll wash off in a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta set that up. I'll give myself a mohawk for the show next week if I lose.
Just take some sacrifices. Oh, wow. Take one from the team.
Take one from the team. Yeah.
Okay. Leave it in the comments. Leave what you think I should do if I lose this bet. I won't, because Naya, you better win this match.
Do the whole pot.
Oh, Bronson Reed, so help me.
This has become a popular trend. We'll line up like 10 hot wings, and you have to like progressively eat hot wings while you're hosting this podcast.
I will do that, but I will do that. I am not good with spicy food.
That's not the point. You'll be snotting and crying and spitting trying to talk about pro wrestling.
That could be a fun one. I might do that one.
There you go.
Baby I says yes, the hot wings challenge. Let's Jane says mohawk. Everyone in the chat, let me know in the comments section so we can view it later. Everyone in the comments, leave your ideas. Jimmy's going to lose, so it doesn't really matter.
I will pay for the hot sauce. I will.
I will find and if you're going to say the hot sauce, give me some ideas of what hot sauce I should do, so you know I'm not wimping out. That does it for us. Leave in the comments which ones you think it should be. Again, please promote. I have this as a note here. Please promote. There will be a King and Queen of the Ring on Saturday and on Sunday, a Double or Nothing review following each show this weekend, hosted by Jack Farmer and Flobo Boys.
You're like Ron Burgundy reading the teleprompter. Please promote. toss to Jimmy.
So
the way he reads that, he should be doing the State of the Union. My goodness.
So everybody,
for applause.
Everybody, make sure to tune in to those, because if I work a weekend, 2 nights on a weekend, and no one shows up, I am going to be so crabby. You have
idea. It's afternoon, so you got the night off. Don't worry.
Well, yeah, the Queen or King, well, the King or Queen of the Week, I'll be done by like 1 p.m. It's going to be great. That does it for us. We're gonna. Oh no, Justin, where can we find you online?
At Justin Labar on the socials. I'll be back Wednesday. I'm here on a special Wednesday this week on Wrestling Inc. Hosting the Post Dynamite podcast. So our go home to Double or Nothing. I'm here. I think it's Flobo and you, Jimmy.
I know I am. I'm
okay. Yeah. So I think Jimmy and Flobo. So I'll be here Wednesday. Of course, Sunday morning, busted open 9 a.m. to noon on Sirius XM. We will be reacting on Sunday morning to King and Queen of the Ring, and we'll be previewing Double or Nothing. So,
those are going to be good shows. Definitely check those out. Jimmy, how about yourself?
Well, you can catch me here, usually Triple J, but as Justin said, he's out next week. So we'll see you Wednesday, Justin. And, of course, you can catch me on the Refin It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner. Last week we had Shannon Moore joined us, which was a really, really good episode. A lot talked about there. And this week we have an old friend of mine who's not a wrestler per se, Steve Argentero, who's a wrestling, he does a lot of wrestling journalism. It takes a lot of fantastic photos. It's a great story he has. We've been friends for a long time, close personal friend, as
Gene
used to say. And of course, my ref and rants from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, where I take a minute or so critiquing something and like to tighten screws that I think need to be tightened and hopefully help.
Very, yeah, always good to check those out. And make sure to check out those Reffin' It Up podcasts. Always good to check those out. You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'll be on the call for Santino Brothers on Wednesday, which will be on Fight TV. Check that out. It's going to be a fun show. And again, I'll be on this weekend. So if I show up on this weekend and we start these after shows and there's no one in the chat, I am going to be so mad for all the people who complained about us doing these shows. You better be there or I'm going to be crabby about it. I'll see you guys then. Until then, follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your wrestling news and stream.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.